Hey, it's me, Paige DeSorbo, and I'm so excited to share my new shoe collection at DSW, filled with my favorite styles and trends for spring. Because if you know me, you know I'm kind of obsessed with shoes. And by kind of obsessed, I mean head over heels. You're going to love these shoes. So snag super cute styles like cute flats, fun heels, and cool sneakers from the Paige DeSorbo collection right now at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out, procrastination, putting it off, kicking the can down the road. In, plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out, carpet in the bathroom. Like, why? In, knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow, I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and save up to 45% site-wide. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Hi, this is Dave Musial, owner of Four Seasons Heating, Air Conditioning, Plumbing, and Electric. Do you have a plumbing emergency? Call Four Seasons. An electrical emergency? Call Four Seasons. A heating or cooling emergency? Call Four Seasons. Same day hot water tank installation needed? Call Four Seasons. Need a whole home generator? Call Four Seasons. We guarantee same day installation on all heating, cooling, plumbing, and electrical needs. And no extra charge for nights, weekends, or holidays.
For all the right reasons, call 866-4-SEASONS.
The path of the righteous man is beset on all sides by the iniquities of the selfish and the tyranny of evil men. Blessed is he who, in the name of charity and goodwill, shepherds the weak through the valley of darkness. For he is truly his brother's keeper and finder of lost children. And I will strike down upon thee with great vengeance and furious anger those who attempt to poison and destroy my brothers. And you will know my name is the Lord when I lay my vengeance upon thee. Ladies and gentlemen, the Church of Laszlo has begun.
Yo!
Yo!
How are you, man?
I'm all right. How are you?
I'm great.
Good. Glad to hear it.
Yeah.
Have a good weekend. Yeah, it is good to be back.
You're good to see
nice,
you.
Nice weekend.
It wasn't bad.
Weather was nice.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I got a little yard work done, hung out with my fiance. You two are the ones who should have exciting stories because, well, I guess actually you got the boys all the time. So
yeah, you should have more exciting stories than I do.
Well, I guess Snow Cone should have exciting stories.
Well, you just have a fiance.
I know, but so we just sit at home. We watch true crime. We have sex.
You know that. Have threesomes and stuff. Because stuff happened.
Not this relationship. No, I did a bunch of yard work. Was proud of myself. So yeah, no, it's not. That's not exciting. But Snow Cone, this guy, he's still like single.
Yeah,
looking to mingle. He claims he's out on dating apps. But I know when I leave work, I see him. He's on Instagram or something. There's only really one reason to be on there. You're either watching stand up on Reels or you're looking for posts to comment on or double heart or whatever. Yeah, right. He's told me now for months. I'm like, who have you hooked up with? Nobody.
And he won't accept it. It really is.
Because it's total bull crap.
It's not.
I know you.
Is. Of course he is.
I know you.
I haven't told you in the past.
In the past, but something's changed because I'm on Reddit.
I haven't told you everything, but I've told you stuff.
Yeah, I'm on Reddit. I don't like learning things on Reddit.
Now.
I don't like learning things on Reddit, and I'll leave it at that.
I watched the Severance finale like four times. That was it.
Oh, four times. What? He does this with these shows. It's like Game of Thrones or whatever. Okay. You like it. We know that you like it.
Yeah, it was worth a rewatch.
Now you're going to listen to podcasts about it. Listen to it five times.
That's what I did.
I did get you something, though, Snow Cone.
You did?
Yeah. I got snow cone. I got snow cone a Severance shirt.
Look at that!
But it's made to look like the Friends shirt.
Yeah.
It says, and he's on it. Snow cone loves those shirts like that. The Hanson Nirvana shirt.
Love it.
Sorry, it's not a Bernie Sanders shirt, but there you go.
Thank you, man. I appreciate it.
Yeah. So, what'd you do this weekend, Lazo?
Me, it was really, you know, hung out with my kids.
Did they have sports or anything?
No, but we played golf maybe twice.
What?
Yeah.
You guys, the three of you went and played golf? Like nine holes?
Me and Chacho did.
Okay.
Yeah. And then we went to Top Golf once.
Oh, so nice.
Just stuff like that.
Golf weekend.
Yeah, the little one's kind of gotten into it.
That's
so
cool.
He brought me back. He's like, hey, I want to try it. I'm like, all right, well, let's go.
I can see that. He's just good at sports. He just likes sports, and he's competitive.
Yeah, and the older one, too, but he's, you know, he's got a play coming up.
I know. I mean, look, your older ones, they're both great kids. I do feel sort of bad, though, that your older one's at that age now where he's driving, he's got friends, his girlfriend or whatever. I'm like, I know Lazo sees him less.
Yeah, I do.
But what do? Because you worry about the day they leave the house.
Where are you? And he's like, I'm at school working on my lines.
Right.
Like, he's busy, you know?
Yeah.
But he did go to Topgolf with us, so that was good. Yeah.
Good. Yeah. Okay. Good times. And then, you know, he's a junior, right?
Yeah, we still got a senior year.
Okay. Still got a senior year. It's just one of those things. You really do always think, you know, when high school's over, then they're going to leave. And then you actually start to leave at around 16.
The younger one has relied. He relies on me.
Yeah. That's good.
If he wants to go somewhere, I got to drive. Although we were going to play golf again, and he came down. He's like, hey, what time did you want to play golf? And I was like, what's going on? He's like, well, I had some friends call me and ask me if I wanted to play golf with them. I'm like, I'll drop you off, man.
Yeah. What are you going to do?
Which was nice. I mean, he felt like, I really want to go play with my friends instead of you, but I also going
to
hurt my
No
gun.
Way to avoid that, huh?
Right.
Because you have one of the best relationships with your kids that I've ever seen. And if you guys still go through that, then everyone must go through that.
Everybody. Yeah.
I mean, maybe it's a good thing because it means that your kid cares about you.
Yeah.
But you don't want your kid doing stuff with you only out of sympathy either.
Right. Yeah,
does my kid actually like me?
Don't worry about it. Church of Laszlo.
Okay. Nothing. Well, I'm sure you heard the news. Tragic time. You know, look, we lose people. Everybody dies. People get older. A lot of times when a celebrity dies, the first thing I think is, wait, how old was that person? Like, when Gene Hackman died, you're like, he was still alive? Because I knew he was old. But seeing that George Foreman died, then you go, oh, yeah, I guess. How old was he? 76 years old. Oh.
Frazier, quite understandably, the favorite. Foreman comes out punching with the right. Historically, Frazier has not been a good first-round fight. Oh, Foreman connected. I think he hurt Joe Frazier. Down goes Frazier. Down goes Frazier. Down goes Frazier.
That's, you know, such an iconic clip.
And you don't even think, that's such an iconic clip, I think most people think that's Muhammad Ali hitting Frazier.
Yep. Exactly. And remember when we got his number?
Yeah.
I mean, just being, I don't know how old I was when we did that. Maybe I was like 21 or something. And I could hear that in my head, you know, down. And, he's one of those celebrities, these boxers, at least to me, I think you're the same way, that they're bigger than just regular celebs. They're on another level.
Yeah, there was a time
level.
When that's what it was.
Yeah, they're
I mean,
like...
It's not like that anymore, but you go back, like, you know...
They were like
Ali,
close to gods.
Foreman, Frazier, you know...
Of course, and then I grew
Larry
up with Tyson.
Holmes even, Tyson, you know, probably.
Evander Holyfield.
Right, Holyfield. That was probably the end.
That was
of
the
it,
end,
you know?
I think. The Klitschko brothers, I got no problem with
them.
They're
right, they just wouldn't fight each other.
And that kind of just kind of stalled there. But as a kid, if you're old enough.
Lennox Lewis, maybe?
Yeah. Come on, he was cool.
Yeah.
But as a kid, if you're old enough, I think, and maybe if you're a guy, I don't know if girls watched as much boxing, but these guys were legendary. And Foreman, like my memory of Foreman is Tommy Morrison.
Right.
Because, you know, I'm from Kansas City.
Sure.
I remember paying. We paid to watch that fight. And you're torn. I mean, I wanted Tommy to win. But I also loved George Foreman, you know.
Yeah.
And seeing George, like, you know, he's a heavyweight champion. And then he comes back, becomes a heavyweight champion again at, what was he, 45?
Yeah.
45 years old?
Yeah.
And then he's like, you know what? I've made a ton of money with this. I do all these commercials for products. And then they get somebody else to do commercials. I'll do my own product. And, of course, he's now mostly known to most people. If you go ask a random person under the age of 30 to, you know, think of an image in your head, George Foreman, boom, they're going to think of that grill.
It's like, I can't think of anyone else. If you think about it, like Foreman and the Foreman grill.
Yeah.
I mean, that his name became an appliance.
Yep.
Right? And the only other name that I can think of, maybe someone could come up with somebody else, is Madden.
Yes.
Madden's name became a video game. It's Madden. It's not football. It's Madden.
Yeah.
What are we playing? Madden, right?
Yep.
If you go to any other else video game, it's NBA 2K or it's this, right? Madden, that's, you say, what are you doing? I'm playing Madden. People, yeah. know, like, okay.
Yeah.
Right? And the same thing, like, hey, I'm going to make a grilled cheese. Grab the foreman.
Yeah.
Right? It's like, where's the foreman?
Yeah.
It's crazy.
The story about it is crazy. I listened to an interview this morning. I think I might have pulled some of it. But just talking about how he did all these commercials on TV for years. You know, he's a celebrity.
Mm-hmm.
And then they move on, get another celebrity.
Likeable guy.
Yeah. And then somebody came up to him and said, hey, you know, you're making all these other companies all this money. Why don't you come up with something? So then he finds this grill. And he's like, yeah, it looks like bullcrap.
Right.
And then he says, you know, he tests it out, and he's like, oh, the grease really does drip down into the thing. He's like, this actually is pretty good. So then he puts his name on it. They said he made $5 million a month
really?
On the Foreman Grill. That's what I read this morning, $5 million a month. I mean, that became...
Personal story, my uncle was at the movie theater.
Okay.
And there was a wallet on the ground. He found it, picked it up, and the driver's license was George Foreman.
What?
Yeah, so George Foreman was at the same movie. They live in Houston, and my uncle went to the people and he said, hey, I found George Foreman's wallet.
Oh, he dropped off with the staff?
No, George Foreman came and got it from him.
Oh, my God. Yeah, because I'm thinking,
thanks,
if you could get his number, be like, hey, I got your wallet. Because I've done that. I've had to go meet a stranger where I've lost my wallet before.
Or maybe, I'd have to ask my uncle, maybe he saw him.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it wouldn't be hard to, saw him in the lobby. He's like, hey, dude, you've dropped your wallet. And George Foreman's like, oh, thanks.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a few of those. There's quite a few. But those celebrities, a lot of them are athletes, I suppose.
Well, I guess because George Foreman is probably bigger than any human being in the...
Right.
You know what I mean? A regular guy, you may not pick up if it's busy.
Yeah.
But you're like, hey, where's the giant, bald-headed black dude who looks like he could kick anybody's ass at the age of 68? You're like, he's right there?
Right.
Like, oh, yeah, there's George.
And that's the thing. Everybody talks about Brady... If you talk about an athlete who was one of the greats and was able to be great, way later in their life than most guys or gals, it's always Brady. Oh, you know, he played until he's 45, went to a Super Bowl there in his 40s, right? He won a Super Bowl, at least one Super Bowl in his 40s, right? So everybody thinks about that. It is impressive. I mean, the guy started to look like he was getting younger when you go back and look at old footage of him. But don't forget about Foreman.
Yeah.
The heavyweight, think about that. I mean, boxing, to me, it's just what you're watching it. Even if you've never done it, watching it, you can tell this it requires some of the best athleticism.
Of course.
That you can find.
It transcends sports.
Because it's just constant.
I always say sports has to have a ball and a defense.
Yes.
In order for it to be a sport. People can argue about that, whatever, but I've come to that conclusion. It needs a ball and then a group of people or one person who are trying to stop you from accomplishing said goal.
Yeah.
That's it. That's a sport.
That's why you don't think cornhole is really much of a sport.
No, because there's not
opposition.
If they had somebody blocking it,
yeah.
then it would be a sport. And now some people are really good. So golf isn't a sport. It's man against land. The land is trying to stop you. But some people play it like a sport. Tiger Woods plays it like a sport. But if I can go out there and do it on the weekend, then it's probably not. I'm not doing it to their level, but it's like it's probably not really a sport. Like some guys do it better, but it's probably not.
Yeah,
I can't just go out and play football on tackle football with pads. You know what I mean? And 11-on-11 on a field, like this doesn't happen, dudes. You die out there,
Yeah.
So that said, I think that's the sport. But boxing and UFC. To me, that transcends sports. That's like, well, there's no ball. It's like, yeah, no. Don't count that. That is the ultimate sport. That's just me against you. I'm a better man than you.
Yeah.
And they're like, no, you're not. And we're both going to train for 6 weeks and find out, bitch. And you're like, all right. Well, that's a whole different level of sport.
Yes. And you feel tired for them. I mean, and look, I'm not saying they're the only ones. I can watch soccer and go, Jesus Christ, I'm getting tired of watching you run. But boxing, you just go, man, that requires so much athleticism. So then to have a guy who's 45 years old, come back and take the belt. Mm-hmm. I mean, in my mind, it was the belt. You know, I think in most people's minds, that was the one. You want to be the heavyweight champion, right? I know that it means something to get those other belts, obviously. But that was the one that had all the cachet.
Right? For sure.
And he's 45 years old and wins that thing. I mean, I just remember, even as a kid, and you think about, I'm in my 40s now, but think about when you're a kid and what 40 sounds like to you.
Yeah.
And as a kid, I was like, how is this possible? How is this guy in his 40s? Boxing at all,
heavy,
let alone
hands,
winning. And, I mean, that's just one of the most legendary things.
Heavy hands. You did not want to get hit by George Foreman.
No, you did not. But you did want to buy his grill. I mean, if we went around and asked people in this building, I do too. I mean, I just assume that, what, 9 out of 10 people will say, I've got one at the house.
Everyone's got
one. And the other one, I think, will say, I had one, but I don't know where it is. That's possible, yeah. Right?
I have one, but I'm not entirely sure I know where it's at.
Well, they've certainly had one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right, right. Sure. So the most successful celebrity endorsements of all time. I think of Foreman. I think of Madden. Right? Those are two
Jordan,
big ones.
I think Jordan, the winner.
Yeah,
Jordan
has true. Right.
Yeah, Jordan, that's it.
Yeah.
We can stop there.
That's probably the highest money-making. But I did find a list of the biggest ones, and I'll tell you in just a second.
The Church of Laszlo.
So, you know, you mentioned Jordan. We're talking about George Foreman. Right. George Foreman passed away, and George Foreman, as legendary as he was as a boxer, a lot of people think of the grill.
Sure.
It's just what they think of. Now, he actually went out and, like, found a product and sold it with his name on it. It became his product. Most of the time, celebrities just endorse a product.
Mm-hmm.
So, Foreman is considered probably the most successful, well, definitely the most successful celebrity product. Right?
Okay.
Where it's our product, I put my name on it. But, you know, you mentioned Jordan.
Yeah, Jordan
makes more money, you know?
Course.
So I think, and seeing that logo.
Tennis shoes, right? I mean, so.
Right. I feel like that's your product. You're not just, you know, maybe they're considering
that. Jordan's got to be the biggest endorsing brand ever.
But I guess if you think of the George Foreman grill, it's impossible to think of any other celebrity than him because his name's on it. He's not hiring other people to endorse it. But other companies do, right?
Right.
So what are the most iconic ones? Now, like you mentioned Madden, too, because Madden is on that game.
Football, right.
Right? In perpetuity. Is that,
right,
is that the phrase? And so it's become, when you say the name, you think of the game.
Yeah.
Instead of thinking of the coach, right?
Of course.
So, but there are, I think that's got to be up there as most iconic endorsement. Maybe it's similar to George Foreman.
I think it's the same.
His name is on it.
Yeah.
Permanently, right?
Yeah.
So I feel like that is the same.
I think it's exactly the same.
It's his game.
And you refer to it as that. You don't refer to it as get the slanted cookware thing.
Right.
Endorsement. And you don't refer to it as like, hey, let's play a video game.
Yeah.
You say, let's play Madden.
Right, right.
You know, right? That's the name of it.
Yeah, it is the same as the former.
Yeah.
It's the exact same. I wonder, comparatively, you know, how valuable those brands are. I told you they said the Foreman Grill made Foreman $5 million a month.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it was making, so that's pretty good. So they say the most successful or iconic endorsements, if you just think about someone doing a commercial for a brand,
mm-hmm.
and then you associate that person with that brand for a long time, who do you think of? The one person I thought of immediately, and it's probably just showing my age, I did see on the list, and that's Britney Spears for doing Pepsi commercials.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like those Super Bowl commercials.
Yeah, Michael Jackson, too, I guess.
Exactly, right? And that became iconic because he caught his hair on fire,
right?
But these are the ones that they say are the most iconic. Taylor Swift is a Diet Coke endorser, I guess. I didn't know that, but it makes sense. I think I knew that she liked Diet Coke. Maybe I saw that somewhere. I don't know how. Then they talked about, I thought this was interesting. Remember those infomercials for Proactive, the acne stuff?
Oh, yeah. Jessica Simpson?
Exactly.
Yeah.
It started with the mom from Who's the Boss, and they had a couple of, and then it became Jessica Simpson doing Proactive, and she became, and then she launches her own clothing line that's actually really successful. You remember when she recorded my outgoing voicemail?
I do remember that.
Yeah. Man, I left that on there as long as I could till that phone company like shut down.
Mm.
I think I have it on a DVD somewhere. But that was, I mean, if you knew me and you'd already heard the voicemail, it had to be so annoying.
Oh, yeah.
It was pretty long. Okay, Nicole Kidman for Chanel No. 5, didn't know
it. No idea.
Okay, David Beckham for H&M, didn't know it. Drew Barrymore for CoverGirl, I do know that.
Yeah.
She's the CoverGirl girl.
Yeah.
She's become, I don't remember who it was before her, but I know that she's the CoverGirl girl. I think I could tell you that. And that, Julia Roberts is the other one, Lancome. I don't know why I know that, but I guess because they show a lot of the commercials. Fabio, do you remember I Can't Believe It's Not Butter?
No.
What, you don't?
No.
Oh, okay, so it's like in the 90s and 2000s.
I know Fabio, but I don't remember.
Yeah,
that.
Fabio would show
maybe
up,
I do,
and he's got the I Can't Believe It's Not Butter, and the woman's, you know, she needs, I guess, margarine for something. But again, that's probably if you're of a certain age, you go, yeah. Like if you, and they said, when you think Fabio, a lot of people think of margarine, right, because he did those commercials for so long. Julia Roberts is on here. Ellen DeGeneres and Jerry Seinfeld for American Express.
Okay.
Yeah, again, you have to be a certain age. I don't know. They don't do this anymore.
It doesn't seem iconic, though. It's like I remember them doing it. But
me, too. Like, what's the difference between remembering it and then being truly
iconic? And you have to bring it to me. If you were to say, who's the endorser for American Express, I wouldn't be like Ellen.
No.
I wouldn't think that right off the bat.
If you said name,
I would think, like, you know, Magic and Larry Bird and Michael for McDonald's.
Yeah.
Like those. Like, I remember those. Like, you know, hitting Magic and Larry hitting the different shots.
Right. It's just kind of like, really, again, what age are you?
Yeah.
When were you growing up? When were you impressionable? Who did you see endorsing that product? I don't know if that
Shaq
makes it
for
iconic.
Icy Hot.
Yeah, I mean, Shaq for the General.
Yeah, the General, Icy Hot and the General.
And the General, you think of those things. And you know, another product that at least I think of the celebrity who endorsed it, every time I go into a Starbucks or walk by, I guess, a Starbucks at Target, Smart Water, Jennifer Aniston. When I see Smart Water, I think of Jennifer Aniston still. I remember those commercials trying to figure out what's different about it.
Right.
I was like, so wait, is it flavored? What's in it? I don't remember what she said was in it. But I would see those bottles, and it was premium, expensive water. Once in a while, one of you guys will walk in here with a bottle of Smart Water. You went somewhere where that's all they had. And I think of her.
Yeah.
Do you not think of her when you see it?
No, not necessarily. I mean, now that you say it, but again.
I remember you and I were living in Seattle, I think, when she was doing those commercials.
Mm-hmm.
I remember you and I talking about Smart Water, trying to figure out, like, what's different about it? What makes it premium? That was kind of the beginning of all the premium bottled waters, which I became a fan of, and so did you.
Yeah, sure.
I mean, you're all about the packaging, you know?
Yeah, I wanted to look cool.
Yeah, and so you buy those plastic ones with the square.
I did.
Voss, that's what they're called.
I stopped buying them, though.
Why?
I used to buy them and have them in my house all the time, and then I was at a baseball game, and one of my kids had a big bottle of Voss water, and I heard like two other kids go, "Who brings Voss water to a baseball game?" And I was like, I should probably stop doing that.
Oh, you let a kid, one strange kid, make you feel insecure about your bottled water choice? Really?
Yeah. So I was like, all right, whatever.
I always thought it was very you.
I just never wanted any of the, you know, I don't want my kids to, you know, catch crap for something their dad does, so I'm like, all right, well, we'll just get... Arrowhead or whatever, so that's what we get now.
But I feel like you are a fashion and function guy. You like the fashion of it, and I feel like that was your water. Britney Spears for Pepsi, which I mentioned earlier. Daniel Craig for Heineken, which honestly, if you asked me, what did Daniel Craig endorse? I don't know that I would even guess Heineken. I don't remember that at all. I'm trying to think. I remember the, who was the, I don't always drink beer. Oh, the most interesting man in the world,
right?
I mean, that's iconic. But and then they got rid of him, right?
Yeah.
But he's not a celebrity. So, I mean, he became a celebrity from doing those commercials. Randy Savage for Slim Jim, you have to agree. They've got that near the top.
Yeah.
When I see a Slim Jim, I think of Randy Savage. I hear his voice.
Step into a
Slim Jim.
Yeah. Good, yeah.
They were on all the time, and when you see the product, you think of it. They actually had George Foreman and his grill at number two, which I think is wrong. And then number one... which I think is ridiculous because it's not like this ran that long, but they say Snickers and Betty White.
I don't think
of Betty White when I see a Snickers bar. That is not more iconic than George Foreman. Get the hell out of here.
It wasn't like a whole
That's
campaign.
What I thought.
Yeah.
If it's only one ad, you think it's a good ad.
Like OJ and Hertz Rent-A-Car.
Yes, you got to be a brand endorser who does it for years, you know? And then it can become iconic.
And something that goes beyond, like, you know, people who aren't alive are aware of, who weren't alive, are aware of that OJ commercial.
Exactly.
Like, I wasn't, you know, I'm not old enough or around to see it, but I'm like, that's him running through the airport. Like, hold the thing, right?
When I see the Hertz logo, I think of OJ.
Yeah.
Do you?
Yeah, I mean
100%. And I only saw maybe the end of those commercials, really, but I definitely think of them. That's iconic. Definitely more iconic than Betty White and Snickers, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
But the most iconic should absolutely be George Foreman. Or you could do Jordan or Madden, right? I think all three of them.
I think the one they missed, and he only did it once, but to me, I always think about it, was Phil Simms, I'm Going to Disney World.
Oh, yeah, that's good, too.
But to me, nailed that right then, and you're like, so now I do think of Phil Simms in Disney World, even though other quarterbacks have done it since then. It was like that first time where you're like, wait.
Yeah, all of them have done it.
Did they pay for that?
Right.
What?
Yeah.
Okay.
But I think a lot of people don't know that piece of trivia that he did it, you know? But with Michael Jordan, this would be my one thing. If you say the name Michael Jordan, I don't necessarily start thinking about clothes and shoes. I think about Michael Jordan first.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Same.
But now, if you said Jordan.
If I just said Jordan.
Yeah, if you just say Jordan, I think of Michael Jordan.
Yeah.
I do at
shoes,
least.
Jordans.
Yeah. But
I guess if I say Jordans, what do you think?
Then
you
I think of the Jordans. Shoes.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, now it's the shoes.
Right.
But if you say Jordan, I'm like, what happened? Did his son get a DUI?
Right,
what's going on? If you say George Foreman, boom, there's that grill. Right there.
Yep.
The Church of Laszlo.
Yo.
Yo. All right, we're going to do the news coming up, man.
All right.
The news. I know you're probably trying to stay away from the news on the weekend, don't you?
I
sure do. I do. Turn off all the notifications.
I don't even really pay attention to it until I come in here and you start talking about it.
I've got a family member, extended family member, who's extremely liberal, okay?
Okay.
I think. Or just liberal. I don't know actually that much about the person. They're liberal. And they watch a lot of cable news.
Oh, yeah.
And they're in a state of panic all the time.
Oh, yeah.
And so we're always suggesting, like, hey,
don't watch it.
Don't watch that. We don't watch that. You know, you can watch other things. We're watching Severance. You know, there's a lot of stuff streaming. You don't have to watch MSNBC or CNN or whatever it is you're watching. But it's like this person talks about how much they hate feeling like this. And they think the world is ending. And this is not the first time. I've watched this person do this for a long time. And it's all from watching cable news all the time. We try and tell them, like, hey, their job is to...
Yeah, they want to make it worse than it is.
Yeah, because they got to make money. So just, you know, watch PBS or something boring. I don't know. I'm not freaking out. Are you guys freaking out? I mean, I guess, you know, I'm not telling you what my politics are either, but I'm not freaking out.
No, I mean, no.
I'm in my 40s. I've heard this song so many times before.
About how bad it's going to be.
The people in the opposition saying, this is it. It's over. Yeah. Our democracy is
crumbling.
And it
depends on what side you're on.
Yes, 100%.
You know, because, like, I mean, people being like, this is the worst the country's ever been during Biden's...
Yes, a ton of it.
Maybe
he's not alive.
Is, I don't know.
Somebody else is in there doing the
work.
Then
they're like, Trump, it's, you know what I mean? Like, no.
I know.
I'm a little concerned about what happens at the end of this. I just want to make sure that after 4 years, if it's J.D. Vance or somebody else, just... Look at that January 5th thing. Has me a little bit like, I think we're going to be, we'll be able to navigate this. Look, it's going to be really bad for some people and really good for some people. But I just at the end of it, I want to make sure that we kind of just move forward. And we don't, like, that's a little bit like, I already fought one war. They're like, wait, go to civil war. I'm like, I don't want to do another one.
No, guys, come on.
I don't want to do another. I'm out.
And if you really hate Trump, if you're one of those people who hate Trump, you're scared of Trump, whatever. Well, you should take comfort in the fact that so far, at least, I have not seen another Trump waiting to take his place. Mm. I've seen people try, but I've not seen another one. Have you?
No,
I've
not seen
someone do what Trump can do. So if you don't like Trump and you hate him that much, well, he's got one term left.
Well, unless Elon runs.
I understand. But is he the same?
Oh, but I don't think
he
can.
Technically can't, right?
Oh, he technically can when they change the law.
He will, for sure. Right. But I mean, as of right now, he can't.
Right. He will.
Here's what I wish. I wish we could live in a country where if you are a person who goes, man, I hate Elon. I hate what he's doing. He's stealing money from the poor, trying to make himself and his rich friends richer. All these things I hear these protesters saying. I wish you could be that person and then not throw a Molotov cocktail into the Cybertruck.
Well,
I wish you could hold up the sign. Now, I know some people say some disobedience.
Plenty of those.
Huh?
I think there's plenty of those people.
Yeah. I know.
Tell George Washington that.
Go
ahead.
I know.
The country is built on Molotov cocktails being thrown at the king. So.
I know. I get it. Oh. But, God, it just feels like we never talk to one another.
Your attitude would be speaking German right now.
I get it.
We'd be like Canada under British rule with the queen on our money.
Okay.
You know what? This thing was made by dudes and trees and muskets. Like, you're not taking it anymore, so.
I get that. But now we're on the same, we should all be on the same side. I don't want a civil war, is what I'm saying.
Huh?
I just, you know, talk to one another once in a while.
I didn't say that I don't want one. I just said I'm not fighting it.
Oh, Jesus.
The Church of Laszlo. Because you should get misinformation from more than one source.
JFK assassination, the fake moon land, the Freemasons, chemtrails, CIA mind control, Area 51,
and the government vows to figure out what the heck is going on and sends drone spotting radar to New Jersey.
It's Headlines with Slim Fast on the Church of Laszlo. The doom scroll begins now.
Yo!
Well, the news. There's wildfires, a lot of them, I guess. I feel like we talk about wildfires a lot this year. I don't know if that's normal. Again, it's like the airplane thing. Maybe the media's just talking about it more. Maybe the country's on fire more. I don't know. First, California burnt down. L.A., right? Mm-hmm. All these celebrities lost their homes. Then, this weekend, there were fires in Florida. I don't know if you saw this. I saw this on the local news. There were fires in Florida. One was by Lake Okeechobee. You could see it from space. That's how big this fire was. My father-in-law was telling me yesterday there was another fire down in southwest Florida burning thousands of acres somewhere near our retirement home, Laszlo. So, you know, I was a little worried about that. But there's also, apparently, wildfires up and down the East Coast right now.
Yeah, I heard that, yeah.
Yeah, and I saw people on TV saying, like, yeah, this isn't normal.
The race to contain wildfires from New Jersey to the Carolinas is being hampered by dry conditions and strong winds. Overnight, a blaze burning at Table Rock State Park in South Carolina, growing to more than 1,000 acres.
This is an unusually high fire occurrence.
In neighboring North Carolina, three active wildfires are burning. Officials warning residents living close to the flames to leave now or risk being trapped, even killed.
Okay, there was a fire by my house this weekend.
Oh, really?
Yes, on Saturday, I had to go to the post office to mail you something. And while I'm there, I see a smoke in the sky. I'm like, what the hell's going on over there? So we drive over there. And, I mean, this is, like, right across from my house. There's this fire burning. And I know I sound like an idiot. I don't know anything about fire. I'm not a fireman. But right. I could tell by watching this, it looked like whatever was burning was an excellent source of fuel because the flames were just churning, right? And people were running and getting in their cars, and this thing was burning, and it was up against a doggy daycare where all these dogs are being housed, right, and boarded for people who are out of town or whatever. They leave their dogs there. And so this building, it's the fire is kind of going on in between these two buildings. I could have sat there and watched it, but I thought that might make me look like a psychopath or like I started it. So we leave, do our thing. I come back. They've got it put out. But they said that power lines caught on fire. That's what happened. Like, just literally power lines caught on fire. They said that we were under some sort of fire warning. I've never heard of such a thing in Kansas City until this. But these power lines just caught on fire and just started burning behind people's houses and up against these buildings. I see these stories about fires, and I don't know why. It's kind of like floods. I always think, well, that can't happen to me. Like, tornadoes, I think, okay, maybe it's going to happen on the outskirts, let's be honest. But when I see fires, I'm like, that doesn't happen. That doesn't happen to us. It doesn't happen around here. We don't. Our neighborhoods aren't going to burn down. I know Laszlo's neighborhood. I can't visualize it being on fire.
No,
maybe. Just not going to happen. So you see that, and you go, yeah, that can't happen to us. But that does suck. You know, kind of like a hurricane. But then you realize, I guess it can happen, and I guess it's happening all over the place. I'm not used to seeing news about fires up and down the East Coast
is different.
If Florida's burning, that's a swamp. So literally the swamps are burning. Something seems different. And then
and it rains all the goddamn time.
Right. And then I see this giant fire across the street.
And there's water everywhere. I don't know.
Right. It's weird. And then it looks like it's burning.
I know there's water in California everywhere. But like if you go to South Florida, there's canals. And like it's and literally on water.
Swamp.
So I don't know how the fire would spread through a canal. But
no, Laszlo, if you looked at this satellite image, it showed this fire. Lake Okeechobee is the big giant lake in central Florida that you can easily see. It's massive. And there's a fire burning next to it that's thousands and thousands of acres. And I'm just thinking, that's all swamp.
Right, yeah.
You know? So maybe our houses can burn down. You don't have above ground power lines.
I do not, thank God.
You know, I guess now that I got to worry. It used to be I worried about our power going out if it got windy. Now I got to worry about my house catching on fire. Did you guys see the video of the high school coach pulling the girl's hair? Everyone's seen that?
No.
Oh, you haven't seen it yet? Okay, well, look it up. You know, especially if you're driving.
Okay.
And pull your phone out and look it up. This coach, now he's a former coach. This video went viral, and you will see it eventually, even if you don't look for it, because it's everywhere. He walks up. The girls are standing there. They've just lost, like, a state championship game or something in a close game, I guess. This coach walks up behind one of these girls and grabs her basketball.
Okay.
Grabs her ponytail. Just boom, pulls her hair and he gets in her face. Kind of looks like that Indiana coach.
So she did something?
He was mad about something.
Okay. So like her play or something?
I don't know because they didn't say. But the game's over. And this girl, it looked like she was
on his team.
It's on his team. She looked like she was already kind of upset.
Not that it matters. I'm just trying to.
I think it does. If he pulled down an opponent, that'd be different.
Either way, you're going to get fired. But it would be weirder if he pulled an opponent's hair.
Exactly. I think it's worth noting.
But it also may be like, well, maybe the opponent said something to him. Like, you know what I mean? So, I don't know. All right. Anyways, doesn't matter.
What was the coach's name in Indiana that cussed
Bobby Knight.
Bobby Knight. So Bobby Knight is kind of the iconic one in my mind. But it just makes me. I always think of basketball coaches as like, you know, they cuss a lot and they get in your face a lot. And I know a coach is a lot of sports do that.
Woody Hayes punched a player. That's how he lost his job.
Our high school basketball coach.
Mark Mangino, KU.
Yeah.
He choked a player.
Yeah, people didn't like him. I don't know if all that has been. Let me just say, I don't know that all that's been confirmed.
Sorry. Right. Allegedly choked a player.
The rumor is that's why he lost his job. I don't think they've ever come out and said that, though. But they might have.
And then you had
also that he wiped his ass with a towel.
That's what I was going to say. But
we don't know.
How can you not think of that? I mean, I can't even look at a towel without thinking about that guy. And I mean, that is a crazy thing. But the high school basketball coach at my school was a psychopath. I liked the guy, but he was nuts. He called a girl retarded to her face when she asked him a question one time.
What year is it?
2000.
It's fine.
I guess, I mean, but they kept demoting him, and then finally, like, all right, you're just going to be the basketball coach.
We
got to find another thing.
Pulling the ponytail, though.
Yeah. Pulling. So this guy, I think he's like in his 80s. He's legend. He's got some sort of legendary status. I don't know who the hell he is. But he grabs this girl by the back of the hair. He's in her face, probably saying, like, quit crying, stupid bitch. I can't hear what he's saying, right? But he yells at her. That makes her cry more. Her teammate is next to her, and now her teammate is comforting her, like, hey, it's okay. He shouldn't have done that. I'm sorry. That teammate happens to be this coach's, like, niece. So something. They're related. I don't know why that's important, but they put that in the story. But you will see
Avery
the video.
Monroe can be seen looking upset on the sideline before Coach Jim Zullo pulls her hair and then gets in her face. One of her teammates, Amaya Tompkins, quickly steps in between them to separate the two. It's believed that Tompkins is Zullo's niece. Zullo, who's 81 years old and a member of the New York Basketball Hall of Fame, was fired immediately. Zullo saying in a statement that he deeply regrets his behavior, adding, "As a coach, under no circumstance is it acceptable to put my hands on a player, and I'm truly sorry."
Okay, so did you find the video? I've got it here, but I mean, look, we've all, even whether you were on the team or not, we've all seen coaches do crazy things. We just talked about it. And you probably had coaches at your high school who did crazy things, I assume. But here's the video, Lazo. I mean, you tell me. So you can tell he's an older guy. He put out this apology. But he just walks up behind this girl and pulls her hair. And see, that I guess that girl there is niece. But that's the girl. Okay, here, I'll show you again. Here he comes. Grabs the hair, gets in her face.
All right, I only saw the end of it. I was like, you didn't grab it that hard. But
he yanked her. He yanked her. Yeah, and then he apologized. Now, I am torn. I am torn.
What are you torn about?
Well, I kind of like when that coaches are the people who can get in your face, yell at you.
I think they can
call you
face,
call you names.
I don't think they can touch you.
That's not what this is.
But I remember a story. This will surprise you guys, but I was not on the high school football team. I was too busy.
You were?
Too busy with other things. I was shooting trap and all that. They needed me on the trap team. But I remember a story of a coach that one of the coaches on our high school football team, because my buddy was on the team, and he was like, "Hey, at practice last night, the coach was getting angry." By the way, this coach is a guy who used to play at MU. And he said, this coach gets angry. He walks up to one of the players and pushed him on the ground, like shoved him in the chest and pushed him on the ground, and made some point about this kid being lazy or whatever. Now, I don't remember anyone being super mad about that. When the guy was telling me the story, the friend was telling me, like, isn't that funny? You know, Coach so-and-so pushed this guy to the ground. This dude was almost in tears. Ha ha, isn't that funny? I don't remember thinking, oh, that coach is going to get in trouble. Right. Everyone's talking about this guy getting pushed to the ground. It was like, no, we like him now because he's just an assistant coach, but now it makes him seem even more like a real coach because he's in our face and he pushed this guy on the ground for being lazy. I don't know.
What?
Football, high school football.
Man, were they in pads and he wasn't?
They were in pads and they were standing
there.
He
was standing and he pushed. I mean,
he was standing there with like four
guys.
That's
a little different.
Yeah, yeah. But he argued with this guy, the coach, I guess. Right. So the coach came up and shoved him in the chest and the guy fell on the ground. But I just remember at the time, there was no part of me that thought, that guy's going to be in trouble. I remember thinking, yeah, that's what coaches do, right? They're like drill instructors.
Are just a kick you in the ass.
Right.
He was an old guy, too, in his 80s, and if he walked by you, and you were, like, lined up wrong, he'd kick you in the ass. On the defensive line or whatever.
That happened to me, too.
I played like I was an inside linebacker, and, there'd be a different defense called. And he'd be like, God damn it, kick you in the ass. I told you to go over there. You should know this already.
He's a coach.
That's a big difference. But what we're saying, and that I don't know what your pushing guy is, but that's a big difference in walking up to her after the game is over and yanking her hair.
It's not good.
I mean, that's a big difference. That is, that's not a move, get over there. That's a violent act.
Okay, let me ask you this.
Right? You're killing me,
no,
Smalls.
No, he should get fired. He should get fired.
Yeah, okay.
I'm not saying that. But
it's not like a you're killing me, Smalls, where my coach kicked me in the ass. It's a different vibe there.
No, I'm asking.
I don't know what that is, but he wasn't trying to hurt me. He was more kind of trying to embarrass me.
Yeah. Right.
You dumbass.
Yeah.
That's what I'm asking. Right. I totally understand that this guy needs to be fired. What I'm asking is because I go, well, I know coaches do crazy stuff. I don't normally think that. What
I think it could be, Aubrey, on our Twitch, says, could it be different because it's a man doing it to a
girl?
That's
what I was going
to
ask you.
I think so. I think there is a difference. But I tried to think about that when I saw it. Like, is it shocking because of that? Maybe. But I think if it would have been a dude with long hair and he came up and grabbed it and pulled him, we'd still be like, dude, you got to go.
Trey Polamalu or whatever?
Yeah, right? A high school kid with long hair, if he would have grabbed it and pulled it.
So my question was, imagine you got a boys basketball team, all right? Coach comes up behind him and yanks him by the jersey. It has the same effect. It rips the guy back and he gets
different in
his face.
Jersey's
There's
different.
No trouble
jersey's
there, right?
That's maybe, right. But jersey's different.
I don't think you're getting fired for pulling the jersey.
I don't think you're getting fired. I think you, depending on how good you are, how about this? If you're a bad coach, you're getting fired.
Yeah, that's an excuse to get...
But if you're a good coach, you're going to get a reprimand and have to apologize.
Agreed.
And this guy was some
but
sort of legend.
But pulling a jersey's different, right?
This guy was some sort of legend, so that's my
question.
They're
also in high school.
If
Remember that. They're not in college. Mm-hmm. I always said, with Bobby Knight, people would complain about him, and they'd be like, oh, he can't push these kids. I'm like, these kids are adults.
Grown men.
One. And two, if they were good enough to go to Indiana, they were good enough to go to other colleges. Now, they may not have been good enough to go to Kansas or Duke, but they could have gone to Michigan or Purdue.
Right.
And they chose to go play for this dude who's known for that.
Knowing his reputation.
Then they wanted to go.
Yeah.
You're in it now.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Now, I may feel different. They're like, hey, we all went to go play for Snowcone, and then they hired Bobby Knight. And he started throwing chairs at him. I'd be like, hold on.
Yeah.
But once he's been there for 15 years, you know who you're going to play for.
Of course.
You know, don't be shocked when Bobby Knight starts cussing at you.
Throwing a chair at you.
Right, yeah.
Right.
You know why you're going to play.
Yeah, exactly. And you know? And I absolutely agree, 100%. And they're just like,
you know, in the pros, Andy Reid is not going to punch you.
No,
he's probably not going to yell at you.
He didn't say
but you know, as a, if you get drafted there, then you have to go. But as a free agent, you're like, yeah, I want to go play for Andy Reid. If you're a free agent and you go play for the Lions, you know that Dan Campbell's probably going to make you run and do more up downs than Andy Reid is going to make you do.
Yeah.
It's just his mentality. We've seen it, right?
Yeah.
He's like, we're all doing up. Believe me, man.
Yeah.
You got to trust me. I'm doing it for your own good, which, you know, they all ended up getting injured and losing. But, right, we have that video. Well, I think of that video afterwards. I'm like, maybe we shouldn't have done, you know, an extra 700 up downs. I don't know, but.
The Church of Laszlo.
All right. The rest of the news. I already mentioned that George Foreman passed away. He was 76 years old. And, you know, just look around you and ask yourself, do you know anyone who doesn't own a Foreman grill or at least has owned a Foreman grill? I think it'd be hard to find someone who hasn't, but also try and remember what a legend he was. So we lost George Foreman, but we discussed that. There was big news on Friday, and we discussed it a little bit. They were releasing all of the JFK files, right? So there's lots and lots of documents, and there are people who are JFK aficionados, including a professor at Virginia, some college in Virginia. Maybe it's Virginia. I don't remember. But this is like his thing. He says he doesn't really believe that there was a conspiracy, but he has always been kind of open to it. But they've got like teams of people. It looks like a law firm with paralegals going through documents, and they've just been pouring through these JFK files to see if there's any big news.
So far, scholars pouring through the documents say they have seen no hard evidence to support a larger conspiracy to kill Kennedy. Still, they say the records reveal new details about just how much the CIA knew about Oswald, who at one point had defected to the Soviet Union.
The CIA lied and lied and lied about what they knew about Oswald. Personally, I think it's unlikely that rogue elements did it.
Okay, so that's the guy from Virginia who's the expert. So we talked about this last week. That seems to be the consensus. Okay, here's the files. The thing that we're learning is that the CIA was spying on Oswald. They did know more about Oswald than they claimed. And they probably, if you're not a conspiracy theorist, then the reason for that would be the CIA shouldn't be spying on its own citizens. So that's why they lied about Oswald. But Oswald did defect to Russia for a while, saying he's a Bolshevik or whatever. But I can totally, if I'm not being a conspiracy theorist, I can see the CIA being like, we're not going to tell people we spied on the citizen.
Sure, right.
We're not supposed to do that. So they lied about it. So now that opens up this world of conspiracy theories. I mean, amongst many other things, right? But you go, oh, okay, well, they knew about this guy. All these people look very smart. They're all in college, or they've already finished college, and they're teaching college stuff.
Right.
They're pouring through this stuff, and they're going, that's the thing we've learned. We've learned that the CIA knew more about Oswald. They've been keeping an eye on him. So maybe the CIA was keeping an eye on a lot of people. You know? Who knows?
Sure.
That is kind of a revelation in and of itself. But there's nothing in there that says, we think that the CIA orchestrated this in some way. So it looks like it was just him. Remember when you got your DNA test, Laszlo?
Yeah.
Did you do 23andMe?
I did.
Yeah. That's what you just put, you know, give them a swab out of your cheek, right?
Yeah.
And then, you know, you find lost family members and you make it public. You figured out you're Jewish, right?
I did, yeah.
And a lot of people do that. It was very popular. There was only a couple companies that most people use. 23andMe, I guess Ancestry has become a really popular one, too. I'm not sure if they do their own DNA, how that works.
Not sure.
But 23andMe, they did. They're this big startup, and I remember they had this woman, the CEO, and, you know, I was always in the beginning, because I'm not very smart, I was always kind of skeptical of DNA. Like, I'm not giving you my DNA.
Right.
No. I got to protect my DNA. Even though I'm literally leaving it everywhere. I'm just leaving it everywhere. And judges have already said, yeah, and cops are allowed to come get it when you leave it. So I don't know why I was scared of DNA.
Right.
The conspiracy theories got in my head a little bit, like, oh, well, it's Chinese, you know. These are Chinese labs, and now China owns your DNA. Heard this all the time. Don't go do one of those, because now China owns your DNA. And I thought, yeah, it'll be like Gattaca or something.
Okay,
but wait. Even if it was like Gattaca, then they'd have to orchestrate something where they change the DNA of my kid. I'm not having a kid.
Right.
Like, what are they going to do to me? So now I'm like, I should get one of those DNA tests, too, because my dad was adopted. I don't know where my family is.
It'd be nice to know.
And I'm open to the idea now. But 23andMe has gone bankrupt. Hopefully they'll be okay. Hopefully
genetic
your DNA
testing
will be
company
okay.
23andMe has filed for Chapter 11 bankruptcy protection. Co-founder and CEO Ann Wojcicki has resigned but will remain on the board. 23andMe has never turned a profit, and it cut about 40% of its workforce in recent months. Officials say the company plans to continue operating throughout this sale process.
It's crazy that it never made a profit. Yeah, I don't know how expensive it is. I've heard cops on crime shows say, well, you know, it's too expensive to test all this DNA. We got to have a candidate, you know, someone that we actually suspect. We can't just test all of it. I just assume, like, in 2025, we should be at a point where your iPhone just goes, here, well, let me see.
I also just assumed testing it to see if you're a murderer and have it work in court is different than just testing it and being like, hey, crazy enough, you're 47% Jewish.
Right.
Like, I just felt like the actual testing procedure would be harder.
Right. Yeah, and you'd hope that they're separate companies. Well, the Idaho case, the murderer guy there. Remember, they sent that DNA off and didn't find anything. Or, you know, sent this evidence off, didn't find anything. And then they sent it to another lab, and that lab is owned by a husband and wife who've done some really crazy things with DNA. They're like cutting edge. I don't remember the name of their company. It starts with an O, I think. But they send the evidence to that lab, and that lab goes, yeah, we got the DNA. Here it is. Which, of course, opened up some conspiracies to people like you and me who were going, wait a second. So the first lab couldn't find the DNA, but they could. Once I learned more about it, I was like, oh. The second lab is a way better lab. They have way better technology.
Well, the second lab is one that takes money.
True.
And gives you what you want.
And you start to go, man, I wish the cops had their own DNA labs.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a little nervous about the idea that you're just sending it off to these companies and paying them.
And getting what you want.
Right.
You're paying them.
Right.
I mean, look, I'm not saying there's a conspiracy. What I am saying is that if the cops sent, every time they sent DNA, they sent it to Laszlo's DNA store.
Yeah.
And it never came back a match, they would stop sending their DNA to me.
Yeah.
That's just business.
Yeah.
Right? Like, so I don't see how else you do it.
It's kind of like private prisons.
Right.
You know, I just think that doesn't seem right. You don't have to be too smart to go, that doesn't seem right. People shouldn't be making money off that. And, of course, a lot of people think the same thing about healthcare, right? Like, you shouldn't be making money off people getting sick. But that's a debate for another day. But with the DNA stuff, it is a little it's a little concerning. And then you start to think about, I know I'm going to see a documentary someday about some technician in a lab who was lying about DNA got this many people put in prison.
I'm sure it's already happened.
Right. And that's the thing. When you're sitting there in court and they say, here's the DNA. If I'm a juror, I just have to take their word, right?
Yeah.
But I can't see the DNA. I don't know how to look at it. I don't have a way to test it. And I don't know that what the, you know, chain of, what do they call it? You know, as the evidence was being handled, I don't know how that went down.
Of course.
So even if you handed me a sample and I could test it on my iPhone, I don't know. I have to believe you. That's how this works. And it means that lab, that technician, they get the ultimate say. Yeah, it was his DNA all over the knife sheath. We found it. Well, then that's it. Now you're done.
Unless they made mistakes, but I mean, then you're paying an attorney so much, like you think of OJ and the Barry Sheck stuff. Like, well, all this stuff could have been contaminated because they didn't do this, they didn't do that. I mean, that's the only way you can fight it.
Well, and, you know, it's so like in that Idaho thing, going back to that again, the first lab doesn't find anything, this better lab does. For something that important, you wish that you could say, okay, now we'll send it to another lab, like they do with, you know, they do that with guns when they try and check the guns to see if which bullfire.
But who says it's a better lab?
I know, but if you just say, hey, we'll try and get at least more than one to confirm this so that we don't get a relationship.
Saying, like, who says the second one's a better lab?
Oh, well, they can do stuff with DNA that other companies can't.
No, it doesn't mean that for this specific project, they're right and the other ones aren't,
I get it. I'm just saying, you know, it might be believable to people that they were able to find this one cell of DNA while the other lab couldn't, because this lab is a totally different DNA lab. They right. do like full genetic mapping of this thing. It's a crazy place. Do you know what I'm talking about, Snuck, on the place that did it, the husband and wife?
Yeah.
Okay.
And the first one did find DNA. They sent the two people to
I've read to multiple times that they didn't find anything. They say that on the news too, like the first lab didn't find anything. I know you keep saying that. I got to find that.
Yeah, well,
I
want to
read about that. Yeah, I want to read about that.
I just found this DNA expert talking about it.
Okay. I'm not saying I don't believe the husband and wife who found the DNA.
No, they were like double checking, basically.
Yeah, I'm just saying that I agree with Laszlo that the whole thing, you know, they've got a lot of power. A lot of power.
Of course.
Whatever they say ends up being. And in courtrooms now, that's what jurors want, is DNA, right? So yep. if you get a specialist who comes up there and says, yep, it's his DNA, well, then that's that. But I can't see it. Mm-hmm. I can't look at it. I can't compare it. I just have to believe you. So who should I believe?
That's why the defense would have call their witnesses to challenge it, right?
Right, but that's the thing. So what? The defense can't get a hold of that sheath and send it to another lab, right?
I don't know. I mean,
and if they do, and they say, because the cops will say it's our evidence. I don't know how that works. I know
sure
they can test
works.
Certain
yeah.
things, but I mean,
feel
like
it's discovery.
You shouldn't be able to keep testing stuff until you get the answer you
exactly,
want.
Exactly.
But again,
but that's how
they don't send
the
it there in
time.
The first place. Send it to the better place. That's my thing. That's what makes it look wrong.
Yeah.
You send it to someone, and then they come back and they say, that's not the DNA. And you're like, well, your lab sucks. Well, why'd you send it there the first time?
Yeah.
If the lab's no good, why are you sending it there?
Yeah.
If it's a better lab that you had money to send it there, then why are you doing it?
Right.
Skip that crap lab.
Yeah.
Like, in what other world is that a thing?
Right. No.
It's not.
No. The lab, I would like the lab to be like part, you know, government-owned, honestly.
And give it to the, if it's not, then give it to the best one first.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Make sure.
Let's just make sure, because now you've got this one lab saying no, and this other one saying yes. Like, well, what?
Right.
Why do I believe either one of them? I don't know who to believe. Send it to the best lab first.
Part of the problem.
It's worth it. And you can't tell me you didn't have money because you sent it.
Yeah. And part of the problem with DNA, you hear all the time, is they'll say, oh, we just have a tiny bit, and we don't know if we want to test it yet, because it's our last bit of DNA, and if we don't find anything else, it's like they couldn't hold on to it. I don't know if that's changed now. But right. if this lab in Houston, or wherever it is, found this DNA on the knife sheath by wiping it with the Q-tip, now the next lab could say, well, there's nothing on it. But the Houston lab would say, yeah, we wiped off the cells that were on there. That's my problem, is that the defense can't say, we want our own expert to look at this
thing. Well, they can.
They can. Yeah. They can. But the problem is, even if they were able to get a hold of that knife sheath, if they find nothing on it now,
can't they check the work of the Houston?
Well, that's the thing. How do they do that?
Have access to? I assume that's part of discovery.
I would like that if they sent in technicians from another lab to watch them do it or whatever. And
well, I assume even if they just have, you know, a printout of, you know, what the readings were or whatever, that their expert can look at.
Yeah, but it's just a printout. Where did you get it? Right. Where did you get it?
I understand, but I mean, I'm guessing they show their work.
Exactly. I want to watch you swipe that thing, because I don't know if you went to his house and grabbed a sock.
I don't know what got contaminated, what didn't get contaminated. I don't know what you did with it. Who took it?
Right.
Right.
Where did it go? I mean, that's what Barry Sheck argued in the OJ thing and won.
Right.
Like, hey, here's a video of that glove and Mark Furman picking it up. What are we doing here? Like, it's, you know, here's a video of the car of them going in and not securing it. Like, if you don't have all that video and you don't have all this stuff and you don't have Barry Sheck to argue for you,
right.
Like,
right.
You're done.
Yeah. And every trial like that, you've got an expert witness, you know, oh, we've got this medical examiner for the prosecution. Then you've got a medical examiner for the defense. They always have an expert that says the exact opposite.
That's what I'm saying, right.
And so why wouldn't they do the same with DNA? That's,
of course.
I agree 100%.
The Church of Laszlo.
What's going on, kid?
Did you ever have male teachers when you were in elementary school?
Yeah.
You did?
Nope.
Never had one. We had one in the whole school. He taught sex ed, but he wasn't ever my teacher. It was all women, you know? And I feel like...
I know I had Mr. Good.
That sounds like he sounds like a nice guy.
He was a dick.
Damn it.
He was a dick. I hated him.
The wrong feeling. I don't know. Did you think, like, why is there a guy here? Seems weird. Why does he want to be around kids all day?
No,
like,
I didn't.
Back then,
I don't
just
think Mr.
Like,
Good... I just think he was
mean.
Okay. Well, I'm just saying, that's what you're asking about, right?
Well, no, I just saw this thing when you're out smoking.
Well, I also had Norm Gosman.
Was he nice?
No.
Mm. We had a guy, homosexual.
Okay.
And I cannot remember his name, but he really wanted me in his class, but he retired right before I was in that grade.
Mm,
so in fifth grade, he was a sixth grade teacher. In fifth
grade,
heard
about your feet rubbing ability.
He came.
I would imagine you are quite the catch in elementary school. Because you were known for rubbing the ladies' feet.
I don't think people remembered that outside of that classroom of kindergarten.
I'm sure and she told people. She went back in the thing. She's like, hey, you guys want a good foot masseuse?
I switched schools in third grade.
Little Slim Fast. He goes at it.
I switched schools in third grade, so they didn't know anything about my history. But
well, that stuff travels on your permanent record. Well, that stuff travels with you.
In my brain, it certainly is. I mean, but I will say this, Lazo, the foot woman whom I rubbed her feet, her son was my teacher in junior high.
Did you rub his
feet? He taught science. And they said his name, and I was like, is that your mom? And he's like, yeah. And I'm like, oh, my God. Me and your mom have messed around, dude.
There's a chance I'm your dad.
Me and your mom have messed. Oh, well, I'm glad that you brought that up. Because I do have a story that somebody sent me about just that. Hey, I might not be that kid's brother. You know, you guys always say that my brother is my dad, but we'll get to that in a second. This guy in Arizona, he's teaching. Sounds like he's new at it. He's got a classroom full of kids, and I just saw he was in court because he got charged for peeing in a can in the classroom. He said he didn't have anyone that could help him wash the room.
The Valley teacher is facing indecent exposure charges and trying to explain why he urinated into a can or bottle in a classroom full of kids. Police say Kurt Hinton told them he didn't think the kids could see. This happened at Wilson Elementary School. Detectives say Hinton told them he was new at the school and didn't know anyone who could cover his class. So he said he resorted to doing what he did in the military.
He's a military guy. He's a military man. He thought that they couldn't see him. He just turned around and tried to discreetly pee in a cup. Now, look.
Wait. Why? Okay, well, I don't know. Mm. I don't know what military was in, bro.
Yeah, I don't either.
Yeah, it's a new thing Z kids are doing.
He's 52
years old. I was in the military. I never peed in a cup.
Yeah, that's
tried a bathroom where I was, and then if there wasn't a bathroom, we just peed.
Right, as a guy, I don't need to save it. I'm not saving it for anything.
I was on a ship, so like if the bathrooms weren't working, we just peed off the side. I would assume, I wasn't in the Army, but I would assume if you're like out and there's no place to pee, you just walk further away from your tent and go pee. I don't know that you pee in a cup. I thought you only peed in a cup if you're on vacation with your parents and you're like, I gotta stop. And they're like, we ain't stopping.
Exactly.
That's when you pee in a cup.
Right. Exactly.
There's no place to pee. The next exit's 23 miles. You got to pee in a bottle.
Yes, that's it.
I didn't know you peed in the military. What'd you do with a cup in the military?
I guess he doesn't want to pee on the wall in the classroom. So I know,
but he said like when I was in the military.
I know. So where would they be? Maybe they're in Osama bin Laden's house and they got to pee. They just pee in a cup. I don't know. But this guy was trying to be discreet. One of the kids noticed they heard what they thought was falling water. Okay. Mm-hmm. So then they go over and look. And once they go over and look, they see him peeing. So then they tell on him, and now he got charged with indecent exposure. Mm. This is like those stories you hear about guys peeing in a parking garage after a game, and then they put him on the sex offenders list. No, but you see what I'm saying, where they pee, and they say, and you go, could you actually get charged for peeing in front of people? Could you get charged with that?
Yeah.
The answer is, yeah, if you do it in a classroom full of kids, you can. This guy's been charged.
I mean, trying to compare it to walking out of Fenway and peeing in a parking structure.
Right.
As compared to peeing in a fourth grade classroom, I think it's a big difference.
Yeah, you know the kids though their account of what happened. I don't know how consistent it is because some kids said that he had his hand around his genitalia, and others said that you could easily see his genitalia. I mean, it sounds to me like they ran over there to look, but I don't know. The guy's new at his job. He's going to be on the sex offender. I mean, I don't know.
No, why are you peeing? Like you get in trouble for being stupid.
He can't be a teacher. He definitely, that's dumb.
And you put on the list. You look around. You're like, look, there's a bunch of fourth graders here. I'm just not going to pull out my wiener.
Okay. All right. So you think it's fair? If you're on the jury, go ahead and convict him.
Yeah.
Put him on the sex offenders registry. All right. Fine.
Yeah. Right? I mean,
that's fine. I don't know. I felt sort of bad for the guy. You know, he's new at his job.
No, whatever. Just leave.
Didn't want to leave the kids unattended.
Like, I got to pee. How long's class? I don't know. If you can't hold it, then just be like, hey, kids, sit down, and then go pee. And if the principal's like, why'd you leave those kids unattended? And say, I had to go to the bathroom. I don't really know what protocol is here. We should have went over this in the onboarding part of it. I didn't think that I'd have to pee, but here we are. Like, the answer isn't like, well, I'll just pee in this Starbucks cup. That's not the answer. That's not the answer.
This guy said it was an error in judgment, but it was something he had done before. Or not something he had done before.
Well, something we've all done before.
Well, pee in a cup, though. You did it on a road trip.
Yeah, we've all peed in a cup. Like, yeah, it's all something we've done before. Not in the fourth grade in front of kids. It's different.
The Church. The Church of Laszlo.
So, I mean, look, this is pretty bad. I mean, people have different backgrounds. you know, some people have better childhoods than others. That goes without saying. Sometimes you hear a thing where you go, man, I just feel bad for you. That's rough. But this might be as bad as it gets, the thing that somebody sent me. This guy from Vegas, it's making national news now. But apparently this guy was sexually abused by his mother for years growing up. From like the ages of...
I've seen that movie.
From like the ages of... Which movie is that?
It's on Pornhub.
Oh.
You don't have to look at it. Front of the, you know, front of the internet right there.
Okay, that one.
It's front page of the internet. I've seen it.
There's been a few remakes as well.
Yeah. Well, it's a very common story. You think this is outlandish, but from what I can tell...
Yeah. I got the impression that this
guys
did not...
Guys having sex with their moms is pretty common. Pretty common.
I got the impression from this guy that...
They don't ever look like moms, though. Like, in theory, on paper...
Yeah,
when you see it, you're like, that's a, you know, this is a good idea.
Right.
I like it. But, you know, in practicality, it just doesn't work.
It's like she's 29 and he's 21.
Yeah, a lot of times you don't see him.
Oh, okay.
You
watch a lot of these. He's really...
I watch all of it.
Okay.
Sometimes it's an aunt, sometimes it's a stepmom.
Well, there was a movie about an aunt abusing her kid, that teen movie. I don't know what it was.
Sometimes I definitely like the teacher one. Sometimes it's just a teacher.
Yeah.
So I enjoy that, sure.
I've never heard of someone personally. I mean, in the news and stuff, I have. I know it exists. I've never known someone.
Poncho said he's watched a couple of them today. Yeah, I mean, it's a common story, right there on the front page of the internet on Pornhub.
I've never met someone, or you know, been connected anyway to someone who at least said that they were abused by a woman. You know, you think someone was sexually abused. You think, yeah, but that she was a kid. I mean, she was a teenager.
Yeah.
Yeah,
you were.
But these like stories about moms, you know, and aunts and stuff like that. I never knew, and it's not something I ever thought about as a kid.
I don't think it's something that really people talk about, except on Pornhub. They talk about it a lot.
They make it seem enjoyable on Pornhub, and I get the impression from this guy in Vegas that he did not think it was enjoyable at all.
At the time or later?
At the time.
Mm.
So I'm just going to.
I can see how it'd be less enjoyable later. Like it would leave a mark.
Yeah, I don't think he ever enjoyed it. Starting at 10 years old, I don't think he ever enjoyed it. His mom's in prison now, but. He now has this new thing that he's got to deal with, and he went on the news.
A man no longer silent about allegations of sexual assault involving his own mother and the paternity case that he has now filed.
Oh, no.
Now, he told police his mother repeatedly sexually assaulted him when he was a child.
She maintains her innocence, but a judge sentenced her to nearly 10 years in prison as part of that criminal case.
And now, this man, who's 26 years old, wants to know if his younger brother could actually be his son.
There's a possibility that my brother could be my son.
His brother is probably his son.
If your brother is probably your dad. So.
Well, I'm just going to tell you, and I know the jokes that are coming my
There's
way.
There's no jokes.
Okay? Gavin told you the part that I know what you're going to respond with. But as you read through this guy's story, he was getting raped by his mom.
Poncho wants to know how hot she is. Is she hot?
Not at all.
Let me see her.
She's unattractive. I don't know if I have a mugshot of her on here. I have a picture of him. Oh, yeah, I do. Here she is.
Okay, well, that's not the videos I've seen.
No, you can watch us Twitch.
See, that's what I'm
saying. Twitch.tv/ChurchLazlo.
On paper.
Right, the idea is there.
The idea is there. The ones that I've seen are like, yeah, that's really interesting. But then in practicality, it's always a lady like that. And you're like, well, that's not good.
Yeah, no, it's not good.
That's going to leave a mark.
No. Now, there's plenty of teachers that are, you know,
yeah,
a different story. But never seen the mom thing go down the way it does on the internet.
Mm-mm.
But so this guy... He alleged that he was raped by his mom for all those years. He's got this little brother. The little brother is...
He's special?
Neurodivergent,
yeah.
So, I mean, it's got to be his brother, right?
Well, no.
I mean, it could be his son, right?
Maybe not.
Come on, it's his son. What do you do with that?
If you're the kid?
If you're the dad, if you're Logan, he's 26 years old, you've had a terrible childhood... You're trying to put your life together, and now you realize that your little brother
is
your son. It doesn't say in here how old the little brother is. I looked up and down, like, where's the brother's age? They don't say. But the point, they do say, if you read far enough, that he's neurodivergent. They don't say anything about his dad. I don't know. But, come on. What do you do?
Well, I mean, all signs point to yes, but...
He says that when she got pregnant, he was 17 at the time. So now he's 26. So I don't know math. But
he was still having sex with her when he was 17?
10 to 17, I think, is what he said.
I don't know anything about victims, so I shouldn't. You know, I just thought it was 17.
Right, you can fight back.
I was in the Navy by that point.
Right, but you've been groomed at this point.
I know, so like that's why I said I don't know anything about it. In my head, when somebody says 17, I'm like, Jesus Christ, I was in the Navy already. You know,
right.
What could my mother or father do to me? I was done with them.
Yeah,
but, they weren't abusing me at 10, so.
No. They groom you and hold you captive. Think about that guy that they found. His stepmother had him in the house. He's in his 30s, a few weeks ago. That woman that's going to court. I mean, I think a lot of people thought, why did this guy have to start a house fire to get attention? He's in his 30s. How could he not sneak out of the house at some point? But we can't pretend to know
that's
what
it's like. That's what I said. I don't know what it's like to go through that.
We have no idea. But he says he was 17 at the time. So the kid's neurodivergent. And now it's dawned on him that it might be his son. So
I was going to say, didn't it dawn on the mom to use a condom? But, I guess she wasn't all that concerned about it.
I don't think she was, normal.
Concerned about the well-being for everyone.
No, she didn't seem to worry about the future, right? She's more of a live-in-the-moment kind of gal.
If it feels good, do it.
I guess so, yeah. Even at the cost of your own
everything.
Children.
And
everything.
Me, and my... Yeah.
Your freedom. Right. Everything. Why not? Just
you only get 10 years for that, huh?
Isn't that crazy?
That feels like that's a...
If they believe that she did that...
Yeah, that feels like it should be longer.
You need to stay away.
Yeah.
Your own son.
Yeah.
Your own son. I mean, look, it's bad, whoever you do it to.
Right.
But the fact you do it with your own son, and you may have had his baby?
Yeah.
Now, what does this guy do? He's got to raise his kid. He introduces him as his son, puts him on T-ball teams or whatever. But the whole time, who's the mom?
I don't think you said the kid was going to play T-ball.
Who's on a special team?
Okay.
And they say, who's the mom? And he says, my mom.
Well,
I thought
it was
your son.
To say that.
I'm just saying he's thinking it all the time.
Yeah, he is. But he has
it's
just
been on the news
his
now.
Grandma's in prison.
I mean, his face is everywhere. They're going to know.
Let me see him.
If I see this guy out and about with the kid, I know that it's his brother's son. Isn't that what you guys call it? Brother's son?
Oh, boy.
Oh, boy, what?
What's your brother dad?
Brother dad.
Oh, boy.
Why are you saying, oh, boy? What's wrong with this guy?
There's nothing wrong with him. That's,
got a good head of hair, beard,
glasses.
He looks
averagely normal, but he looks like...
He wore a nice suit on the news?
That's what I'm saying, but he looks like, he looks troubled.
Well, he is troubled.
Just, I was like, oh, boy.
That's what I was saying earlier.
Not that he shouldn't be troubled, but he looks troubled,
I've heard stories and known people who had bad childhoods. I had a cousin who was being raised by their mom. Their parents got divorced. It was actually my cousin's kids. And so they were being raised by their mom, and she basically held them captive. I mean, if you talk to them, it was like they were in a cult. They were rarely allowed to leave the house. When they got older, I think the older of the brothers, I think when he turned like 17, he just escaped and went and lived with family or whatever. I've seen that. But there was no abuse, no allegations like this. And I remember seeing my cousins and feeling so bad for them. They had to go through that, and that their mom was so, why did such she was crazy and just holding them captive and all this. But a mother who sexually assaults her own son for 6 or 7 years in your own home. Here's your mom.
I mean, it could have been outside the home. You don't know.
What, she thinks she's taking him to the Holiday Inn?
Some of the movies have been, I've seen it in the car.
I mean, sure, I guess. But the point is, I don't think it gets worse.
At the beach.
I don't know that it gets worse. I mean, what's worse, this guy's situation, or from the ages of 10 to 16, your stepdad beats you with a belt a lot? It's not even close. It's not even close.
Yeah.
You're taking the belt.
Oh, sorry.
Jesus Christ.
The Church of Laszlo.
I love lottery stories. I got a lottery story for you here in a second. And this isn't like some of these lottery stories, somebody wins $1 million. I mean, significant amounts of money. But this story involves a woman who won $83 million in the lottery, and they won't pay her.
Why?
I'll tell you in a second. But Laszlo, I found that thread where they were asking married people who, how did they word it? Married people have read it who have fetishes and you didn't tell your partner until after you got married. Yeah. That was the question. How did
it
go?
A tough part.
I know. So I told you about there's the pantyhose guy on here.
Yeah.
You would be surprised at how many people say hey, my kinks are really not that crazy.
Just crazy?
Slightly south of vanilla. They don't necessarily say it's nothing big. But my wife won't do it.
Oh.
Like there's multiple people who said she was disgusted. One woman said she was driving around with her husband. They'd been married a few years and had a kid or two.
Okay.
And they see a smut shop, right? And she's like, "Hey, do you want to go in there?" And he yanks the car wheel, gives her whiplash, and goes back because she's never asked to do this.
Sure.
So they go into the shop together. She says they buy a few items, but the main thing that they got was this deck of cards that gives you kinky prompts. do this, okay. do this. And so now this has become like their sex life. She had no idea that he was into this stuff. Maybe he didn't either.
Right.
But I'm thinking for a story like that, it's possible this guy was just like, we got to do something because I am bored. You know what I mean? He might not have known that he liked that stuff. Maybe he did. I always think that your fetishes are probably ingrained somewhere in a young age. But
I always think that if you're, and not that the pantyhose is like, you know, off the board, odd. But I always think, like, if your fetish is something that can be sold in a deck of cards.
Right.
Or rolling dice.
Yeah.
At Scylla's, then you're probably in a lane.
Yeah.
That you can feel free to ask about, right? Like, yeah. If it's like, you know, a 3 and a 2 means do this, then, like, you're probably okay. It's when your stuff starts to fall outside of those cards, and then they're like, oh, they don't have a card for that?
Right.
That's when you're like, we better talk about this before we get married.
Right. Like the person who's talking to us on Twitch telling us that they have a fetish that's illegal, so they won't tell us what it is. I mean, you're allowed to say it. Even if the act would be illegal, you can say it.
Well, you may not be able, you may not want to say it.
You might want to change your screen name. I thought this was interesting. People on that thread had links to websites that are for couples where they like give you a list of stuff. Are you into this? Are you into this?
So what were the big fetishes?
And you both do it. A lot of people don't even say what the fetish is. Mostly when they do, it involves bondage, BDSM. And like I said, there's the deck of cards. There's the guy who liked pantyhose. And there's several guys who have a foot fetish. And I guess waited until they got married. One guy said that they were married. They're divorced now. They were married. She would come home and he would give her a foot massage. And that's how he was like trying to introduce this idea. I would just think, if you've got a fetish like that, how does your partner not know until after you're married?
Yeah.
You know what
I
mean?
I would think that's an easy one that you don't have to really discuss.
Right. They're aware of that.
Right. And you can give pretty solid clues.
Right.
That this is what I like, right?
Right. Right.
And without bringing it, like, most of the time, people are like, oh, you should talk about it before. I think most of the time, if you just kind of go in that direction.
Yeah.
Right? Then, all right, they'll get it.
There was a
girl. And they'll either like it or they'll be like, all right, I cannot come back over to this dude's house again. Like, that's it.
Right, that's it. That's it. There was a woman on there who said her husband, she didn't know that she liked this before. So it wasn't like she didn't tell him. She wanted him to do the thing that Snow Cone likes to do.
Oh, yeah.
The thing that'll give you a pink eye.
Yeah.
And now that's her thing. She wants her husband to do that all the time. So they do it every time they have sex.
That's the part where I'm like, hey, look, we all got our things, but I'm not coming back over.
No, you should do that. You know, like, that's a one-night stand. Or your wife? Come on, man. you guys know what I mean?
No, I mean, I'm not. No.
Like, that's what you're going to do, and then you go back to watching TV?
I'm out from jump.
Yeah, I know you're not into it at all.
I'm not doing it.
Right. Snow Cone, if you took all your sexual encounters and added them up, what's the percentage of times that you've done it? Is it like 1 out of 3? 1 out of 2?
Half and half.
It's 50-50.
See, but what he's saying is the foot fetish thing here. And that's what I'm saying. You don't have to discuss it beforehand. It just kind of head in that direction. And they'll either let you know, like, hey, whoa, what's going on here? Or they won't.
Yeah.
Like, if you have a foot fetish, it's pretty easy for her to tell that you have a foot fetish.
Yeah.
Like, you don't have to be like, excuse me, ma'am. Before we go any further, I'd like to at least discuss the options of me being attracted to your feet. Like,
right.
Just kind of, you know.
Just do it.
Just see what's going on there.
Just do it.
Right.
And maybe after you get done having sex, she's like, I didn't like what was happening there. Okay. But just do it.
She stops it in. Or you could tell. Maybe she moves her legs away from you.
Yeah, exactly.
And you're like, oh, all right, well, don't try that. And after Fisher, you can go home. This is over.
Right.
Because she's not going to like it either. So it's all right.
There was a guy on there, Lazo, and I saved this for you, but there was a guy on there who's married and apparently also had a pantyhose nylons fetish, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Didn't tell her. Told her once they were married, and she called him a pervert. And he claims she continues to call him a pervert to this day.
Was his fetish being called a pervert?
No, nylons and stockings.
Oh, really?
That's what he wanted. And he said he told her after they got married, and she called him a pervert. He says, my fetish is nylons, pantyhose, thigh-high stockings, and she now thinks I'm a pervert because I asked her to wear them from time to time. I guess not. I mean, he's saying that she didn't like
them. Well, but she put them, okay.
Well, no, because
like, I'm starting to, like, if she puts them on with pantyhose and a high heel, and she's like, you're a little pervert.
Yeah, that would be better.
Yeah.
I didn't get that impression from him. He said, In the responses, people are like, you know, that sucks. That doesn't seem like a very crazy fetish. You know, most women would probably be into that. And he responded to someone and said, yeah, I don't get it. I thought women liked wearing sexy outfits and things to try and turn men on. I don't know why she won't do it. So it sounds like she's not doing it. I mean, I've never been turned down. Because that is my fetish, too.
No, yeah.
I've never been turned down.
I haven't either.
But, you know, like you were talking about the foot fetish. That's easier because, like you said, while you're having sex,
yeah,
you can just start.
Like, it's not like a consent. You grab their foot.
Right.
They're already having sex, and they're like, wait.
Is that turning you on?
Who keeps touching my foot?
Yeah.
Like, and then they're like, oh, look, he's got a foot fetish.
It turns them on.
Right.
Yeah. With nylons.
And then they pick up on it, and they either go with it or they don't. And then you know. Yeah. Like, oh, every time I... Like, if you have a kneecap fetish, every time I rub her knees,
right,
she moves her legs away. Like,
right,
well, okay, then this isn't happening, whatever it is.
Right.
If you just put pantyhose all over your bed and she never puts them on.
Well, that's what I was going to ask, because right, I think my strategy is different than yours. Mine has always been, I have a new pair of pantyhose ready.
Yeah, it's hard to
and
ask.
And when they come over, I'm like, can you put these on? Now, I think you don't do that. You don't,
no, no, no.
You're
no,
not
no,
that, you know,
I'd,
presumptuous.
I would wait until they had them on.
And then say you like them.
Then be like,
go crazy.
Almost
for.
Like, I didn't know I like this.
Well, yeah, that's.
I would play that game of like, are you, that's, you know, you look, that's it. Then you just play the game of that you know,
yeah,
that you're just finding out now.
Yeah.
And then they'll either go with it. Like, you know, if they take them off and they're like, God, these things are hot.
Right.
And I hate them. They're like, God damn it.
Yeah.
But yeah, I would wait until that moment.
I used to try to
I wouldn't
do that.
Be like, you know, hey, I've got some here. Can you try them on?
But that was like before.
I will say for a long time, though, we've been doing the show and we're so open about it that most people know.
That's what I was just going to say.
It's
before
more,
we
yeah,
were in radio, yeah, I might wait and then be
I
like, oh, I like that. But once we started talking about it for 20 years, no one's having sex with me who doesn't listen to this show. There's no other reason to like me.
Right.
And so they already are aware of it.
Yeah.
And most of the time, the reason we met, like my fiance, is because she's wearing pantyhose and saying, come here.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I'm like, all right, I'll get divorced and come over here. You know? Yeah.
The Church of Laszlo.
Yo.
Yo. Okay. Man, this is crazy. $83.5 million.
Okay.
If I won $83.5 million, we're retired. I mean, I don't know what Snowcone's going to do. He can do the show, but I'm giving you money.
Right, yeah.
And we're done.
Okay, thanks.
We're done. You know, we never bought that insurance, that life insurance for business partners.
Oh, yeah, we didn't.
We should have. That. But if we won $83.5 million.
You don't have to work anymore. I got you.
We're done. We're done. Well, I'll give you, I don't know how much I'll give you. It's going to be a lot.
It's going to be a lot. It's going to be more than you think.
I give you millions and millions and millions. And I
if I won 83, I mean, you're getting in the tens.
That's what
I know
say.
What it is. 10 to 12 to that's 15, somewhere around there.
Between
so
10 and 20.
You don't have to work anymore, and if you have a kid, they don't have to work. You know, that's good.
Yeah, because I want to be able to take care of your boys, too.
Yep.
So, I'll start a fund for them, you know, a trust fund for them. There's $2 million right there for you guys. Snowcone, I think $1,000 would change his life.
All right.
Don't you?
Okay.
It would drastically change his life.
You don't got to insult me.
Anyhow, this woman in Texas won eight. You're giving them nothing.
Yeah, I already knew. I already knew. So let's just move on. Insulting, both of you.
Who else do we have to give money to? Let's give some to our boss.
I'm not giving them any.
No, if we won $83.5 million today.
Take care, Bomb Pop. Okay.
Well, who?
Your godson.
Oh. He's not my kid.
Oh, I'll get him a trust fund, too. Yeah, I'll give we give our boss a little bit of money. Retire. You're done. You know what I mean? We're leaving.
I mean, I don't know.
We're out of here. Maybe not.
I'd have to come into work to talk to her and just not doing it. I'm calling you
and
I'll be like, can I Venmo you $12 million or do I actually have to go to the bank to give it to you? Because
right.
I'm done.
I'm not coming in.
Right.
Yeah.
You don't have to text.
83 and a half. So this woman in Texas, she hits the lottery last month, $83.5 million. They still haven't paid her. And now they're saying there's a good chance that they won't pay her. Here's the reason. She bought the ticket through an app called Jackpocket. Which, if I saw an app called Jackpocket, I would not think it had anything to do with the lottery.
Mm-mm.
I would think that's some sort of porno Android app. You know what I mean? But apparently, it's an app that's owned by DraftKings, which you've used DraftKings many times, right?
Okay.
So this Jackpocket thing, I guess you pay through the app, and then they send someone to go buy the ticket for you. Okay? That's how it works. So lawmakers in Texas have been moving to ban this app and the other apps like it that do the same thing. Because Texas state law says you have to pay cash for lotto tickets, which I think, you know, in Missouri, it used to be that way. You had to pay cash for lottery tickets. I think now you can use a debit card. You just can't use a credit card, right?
I think that's right.
I think you can use a debit card, but not a credit card. Anyhow, in Texas, you're supposed to pay cash. And they say around 9% of all the tickets sold in the state are bought through one of these apps, where you pay through the app and someone else goes. So that, you know, that's a lot, almost 10%. The state Senate passed a bill that would have banned them completely, but the House did not pass it. So it never became a law. So they're not illegal. They started to act like they were going to ban them. Okay. They never passed it. So these apps are still running. But now, after this woman wins this money, the Lottery Commission says, you know what? We're banning these apps. So the Jackpocket, whatever it's called, stopped operating in Texas. And the governor in the wheelchair, what's his name? Greg Abbott, right?
Greg Abbott, yeah.
He launched this investigation into this whole thing, into the win. Wants to know why she hasn't been paid. It sounds like he's on her side. But the lottery says they're not going to pay until they finish another investigation that they're doing. And it's not the only investigation. The one they're doing now is not the last one, is basically what they said. So it happened to somebody else, too, but this was different. They say they compared it to this thing that happened in 2023, where this group in New Jersey, it was like a company in New Jersey, they used an app like this, and basically they said guaranteed a win. They spent $25 million on tickets and won $90 million or $95 million.
Okay.
I didn't think that's how the lottery worked. You know, we got $10 million worth of lottery tickets here. Somewhere in there, there's a $30 million winner. They would have still had to get lucky because the lotto's got to make money.
Sure, right.
So I don't see how it guaranteed, but they wouldn't pay them because they said, oh, they were trying to beat the system and they bought them out of state with this thing. But the lawyers for this woman who won the $83.5 million, they're like, this is not the same. She did not buy $25 million. She went to an app that was legally operated in Texas. You guys haven't banned it yet. Bought the ticket. Yes, I was able to pay through my phone. You know, with Apple Pay or whatever it was. And yes, someone else went and got the ticket. But come on. They went and got the ticket and gave it to me.
Well, I know who it is.
Right. They're saying that, no, those apps are, we don't like those apps. We think they should be illegal. Okay, but they're not illegal yet.
Right. Then you got to
pay
me.
You didn't pass it.
Right.
Well, you cannot do this.
So what's Abbott saying?
He says he's looking into it. He wants to know why she hasn't been paid. But I don't know what he's actually doing.
Right.
You know? Wheeling around,
trying to get legs,
getting this
work.
Stuff done. He's like a superhero. He's like
trying to use half of that to get working legs. Man,
didn't he get hit by a tree while he was jogging? Is that what happened? Someone told me he was like jogging and a tree fell on him, and that's how he became paralyzed. Man, just think about the type of person you have to be, whether you agree with this politics or not. I don't care, but the type of person you have to be to go, all right, well, I'm paralyzed now. I just got hit by an effing tree. But I still got plans. And then you become governor of Texas.
Yeah, I mean, it's a pretty impressive story.
Because you and I, if we get hit with the tree, it's a pity party for the rest of my miserable life. That's it. I got hit by a tree. Can you believe it? Somebody somebody give me some money.
Luck.
Right, the luck.
The luck. I'd never do anything. Never again.
This guy goes and...
So, as I did make fun of his legs, I shouldn't have. It's an impressive story.
It is an impressive story. But he is in a wheelchair. And I've never seen a governor in a wheelchair before that I can recall. Right? Yeah. I don't remember ever seeing that. You don't see very many elected officials in wheelchairs, do you? I've never thought about this. Where are they?
No, FDR.
Well, they hid his almost till the end, right? I mean, I can't think of one. I mean, sometimes when these senators are 103, they wheel them in
that's
for their
the
last
only
vote.
One I know of, honestly.
Yeah, yeah, that's crazy. Anyway, $83.5 million. She better get this money. And I want her to know, Snowcone, I want you to contact her and let her know that we are on her side and we are promoting her cause here. You know, because I want to...
A little back
she
end.
Might, yeah, she might buy me a Tahoe or something.
The Church of Laszlo.
Yo.
Yo.
Are we done?
We're done. First two things you would buy when you win the lottery. Because I'm guessing, I just assume...
Like how much?
$83 million. I'm assuming the first thing that you do is pay your house off, right? I mean, that's...
Yeah, and then probably a place, a place to vacation.
Ooh, it's a vacation home.
Yeah, so I do those two things because... If I pay him cash, I'm probably not going to lose money on him.
Right.
So, you know, that, and then, I don't know, a car, something.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's probably it.
Yeah. What kind of car?
I don't know yet.
I pay the house off, and then I go pay cash for one of those new Tahoes.
The
RST or something. I like the Escalade. Don't get me wrong. It's just not.
Right. It's not
I've always wanted the Tahoe.
Okay.
You know? And then I buy you guys cars. I'd want to buy, if $83 million, I'd love to win enough money where you could buy all your buddies new cars.
Yeah. I might buy an A8.
Maybe not McLarens and stuff. There you go.
Yeah. Yeah. I had that A6, but getting it fixed was too much money.
Yeah, yeah.
So I had to get rid of it. So with the $83 million, you're like, yeah, I don't know. If the transmission doesn't work, it doesn't work.
Plus, you get a brand new one with a warranty.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. I'll get Snow Cone something, a new Focus, you know, newer Focus, something
I'll
like
take
that.
It.
Whatever he wants. Mm-hmm. Wouldn't that be great?
Yeah.
I never heard that story, though. Where is the rich guy who won all the money and bought all of his friends new cars? How is that not an instinct when you win that kind of money? Yeah, I guess once you get it, your brain must just go into pure greed mode. Like, wait, I told Laszlo I'd give $10 million. I can't actually do that.
Well, because probably all the people, you're like, oh, this is what I would do. And then there's like a bunch of people you weren't planning on asking you.
Yeah, my cousins show up.
Yeah, right?
Yeah, for sure. Well, yeah, I'm going to buy you guys scratchers tickets tonight. That's what I'm going to do.
Oh, no, that's nice of you.
I got a feeling. I have a feeling.
You do?
I do.
Mm-hmm. Well, I've been sitting here watching Marcus Stroman all day, so good show. Stay positive, kids.
The Church of Laszlo.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
So I read in USA Today that the majority of people stop GLP-1 weight loss injection shots in a year. Now, what's concerning is if you get off GLP-1s, there's a real chance you can gain all the weight back. The solution? Alma said, a natural superfood protein shake. University studies show it optimizes your metabolism so you can lose weight easily, and Alma said it's been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Use Alma said with GLP-1s or as a natural alternative. Find out more and see the university studies at almased.com. That's almased.com.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Do you know about the true crimes that inspired a Bruce Springsteen album? Or the murders AC/DC was blamed for? How about Taylor Swift's violent stalkers? Or the suspicious deaths of Brittany Murphy and River Phoenix? These stories and more are told in the Disgraceland podcast, hosted by me, Jake Brennan, every Tuesday, where I dive deep into subjects from the dark side of music history and entertainment. So follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.